Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of the Who Cares podcast. Today is going to be a shorter than usual duration, and we're going to be talking about falls in the home. And this has been inspired, if that is indeed the correct word to use, by the great Dame Judi Dench, who is 87, which came as a bit of a surprise. And she fell in the home, and no one was around, and she was on the floor for about half an hour, according to the media reports. Luckily for Dame Judi, she managed to pull herself up after she managed to recover over the course of half an hour, following also abuse from her beloved parrot, I believe. So, that prompts the question in terms of falls in the home, how dangerous are they? How can we prevent them? Is it something we can indeed prevent, certainly over the long term? From a care perspective, what should we be looking out for? What should we be doing to work with families to help avoid? So let's jump straight in with how and why falls happen.
Well, there can be literally, well, not 100, but there's a multitude of reasons. We're generally talking about the elderly, which, yeah, as you pointed out, Dame Judy's in her late 80s, so falls are more common.
Her late 80s,
yeah, are more common in the elderly. And that could be simply frailty, so they're just not as capable as moving around as they once were, really, really basically. Could be impairment, so their vision is reduced, for example, and they sort of get their depth perception wrong as well. They think they're stepping over something, and indeed they're not. Medication, very commonly medication prescribed to treat cardiac conditions, specifically blood pressures, for example, can really affect your postural drop, which basically, so if you stand, all of a sudden your blood goes to your boots.
I thought you can say your boobs.
Well, in your late 80s.
Perhaps it's the same distance.
Same distance, yeah. But no, it drops, and therefore, as do you, because you're dizzy and your pressures are off entirely, so off to the floor you pop. It could be medical conditions, which are obviously enhanced as we age, or can be born as we age. We don't always have them, but AF, atrial fibrillation, that's so your heart can sort of just have unnecessary pauses, which if you're fit and well, you can recover from fairly easily. In some instances, you don't really know it's happening. Or certainly what you get is a different sensation rather than blackouts. But in our experience at the company, people with AF tend to fall much more commonly because it becomes worse and worse as you age. And then you have the very, very simple things like ill-fitting footwear, the amount of falls that happen, and we risk assess them and we ask the carer, well, what was the client wearing? Oh, those slippers with the broken backs or the whatever.
Like, yeah, obviously the old lady's wearing those purple slippers, yeah, the straight, thick sole, and they always have the little embroidered floral motif on the toe.
Yeah, very, very, very common desired piece of footwear amongst the elderly. I mean, they're snug, they have a sturdy sole, they're fluffy inside, and they've got a beautiful flower adorning the toe. Many reasons to wear them. However, people's feet swell as they age. When you're less mobile, your circulation isn't as effective, so your feet can swell. What lots of people tend to do, certainly in my experience in care, is rather than go and buy footwear in the next size because that'd be more comfortable, they break the back of the shoe or the slipper, so they wear them like a bit like a closed toe flip flop. You know, they just slip into the shoe or the slipper. That shoe or slipper doesn't fit, nor is it designed to be worn that way. So that is often a very, very common cause. Things like rugs, moving pets, trailing wires, like the obvious trip hazards that anybody would look around for in another environment becomes an issue. In a client's home, even though it's a familiar environment, if anything changes within that, you know, carers might tidy something up. A family member might think, well, actually, that rug looks much better here. So then the client's innocently walking back from the kitchen with whatever, and the daughter's moved the rug at the weekend, so they're not expecting the floor texture to alter, and it does, and therefore we get a bing, bang, bong. So
a what?
A bing, bang, bong. professional term. Mm. What it sounds like when you're
nursing school.
Absolutely. But so that's literally a sprinkling of reasons. There can be so many. I mean, dementia itself, I know we spoke about dementia, but that just throws off everything for obvious reasons.
Move something, forget, turn around.
Move something, forget. Actually think you're more capable than you are. Well, I've always taken the bins out, even when it is -2. I can take the bins out. Can't take the bins out. Mm. You know, it's lack of recognition of what your capabilities are. Sort of personality can increase falls for that same reason, similar to the dementia example. I'm perfectly capable.
Pig-headedness, stubbornness.
Absolutely, yeah.
Toxic masculinity.
Well, yes, that's that could be a.
But it's a generational thing as well. You just get on.
Yeah.
There's been a war.
You crack on.
That was, you know, however many years ago.
However many years ago, tons and tons really of reasons. But whatever the reason is, they're a problem. Mm. They are definitely a problem. They're a problem whether they're in the home, they're in a care home setting, they're in a hospital, but. Our focus is in the home because commonly because falls are repetitive, relatives, GPs, the client themselves might go, oh, I need a care home. I can't manage at home because I'm falling left, right and centre. It's like, well, why are you falling at home is going to continue into why you're falling in a care home or another setting, unless it is simply because the cat's blind and running around in circles or there's 24 rugs on the floor. But every other reason mentioned is going to happen elsewhere. So it's not, it's a transferable problem, but often people think the solution is to leave the environment.
Mm. Well, the bottom line is, we actually think about how many times you walk into something, fall over, bang your head, bang your elbow, but because you think as you get old and you get more frail,
mm.
you know, those things, a bit of a snowball effect, can you bang your leg, so then actually that's giving me a bit of jip now, and then a few hours or a day down the line, the knee still isn't great from when you banged it on the edge of the bed, going for to the loo for the fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bang it again, or you fall, or you
and
just kind of overstep.
Yeah, also. And then it affects your confidence. And then, you know, as you say, you snowball, but that snowballs fairly dramatically.
So if you're a relative or someone who's worried about falling, or anybody, let's say you're Dame Judy.
Mm.
What kind of step, what in her case, I suppose it would kind of just be maybe thinking about a strength in her legs or her feet or her arms or core strength, general strength in terms of the frailty, and kind of making sure that that's not going to become an issue. So try and keep active, try and keep going.
Try and be active, and that can sort of support how frailty declines. There are some funky gyms, depending on where you are in the country, which actually hold like a fall class. They're absolutely fantastic though, and they basically teach adults who are aging or already aged, suffering with frailty, to not how to fall, but how to get up from your fall, or if you can't get up, what to do, like the physical postures and this and the other. And then they obviously help you build on strength. As you say, core is usually the most important one, really, because that getting up, it's the whole tortoise thing. I'm on my back. How do I get up? It's all your core strength.
Mm.
And so that's a very important part of your body to obviously keep as strong as you possibly can for lots of reasons. So there's things like that which are brilliant. There's adaptions you can have in your house, which I know people, again, are like, oh, I don't know. This is my home. I don't have a rail here. I don't have a raised toilet seat, et cetera, et cetera. Linking into the stubbornness or the whatever term you use for crazy masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
That's the one. But sometimes that just has to be accepted. Accept, make a plan, move on. You know, don't dwell on such an issue. So adaptions in the home, simply moving a rug. It's lovely, but it's got to go. Get someone to frame it, hang it on the wall instead. Doesn't need to be on the floor. If it's a pet, it's like, well, can the pet be managed? And if not, what steps do you want to take to be aware of the pet yourself? There's lots and lots and lots that can be done. For families who are sort of concerned, and let's say it is somebody with dementia or sort of impaired cognitive issues, then there are things like the canary system, as we touched on in the dementia podcast. There's also pendant alarms, which are really, really handy, and they have many more fashionable presentations these days. So advice to Dame Judy, which I'm sure should be given by 100 people, is, well, have you considered some form of pendant system? So that is literally is, it's a pendant which has a button which you press if you fall. So you're advised to wear them on your wrist like a watch or a bracelet, or then around your neck like a necklace, but it sort of falls like above your navel. They're quite long, so you're supposed to be able to access them.
As former head of MI6, I'm sure she could find a gadget from the
absolutely
Q department.
Absolutely, something much more desirable than a...
disguised as a nice brooch.
Yeah, rather than a grey band on your wrist with an oval white chunk with a red dot in the middle, which is what most of them look like. But anyway, those systems are effective because then when you press that buzzer, it links to a call centre where these companies that run these systems man them, and then they send you whatever help you need. You would dictate what that help process was. So you might have one family member as your first point of call, a neighbour for your second, or whatever. And then the company that you've chosen for your pendant service would then call number one, number two, to try and assist you. If they're worried that actually you've got an injury or you don't sound well, then they just obviously call paramedics for you immediately. So in the instance where you are Dame Judy and you're beached on the floor, your pendant is on your body.
Beached.
Well, it is beached. They're completely stuck. They can't even roll. People that are really, really... It's the term, I'm afraid. Anyway.
She's beached.
She's beached.
Dame Judy's beached.
She's beached. Is then you've got it on your wrist or you've got it on your chest. So you should be likely to access one of those points to gain your help.
Yeah. One thing before we go, because what we want to touch on is what people should be aware of and what they can do to either reduce falling or if there is a fall. What we find often is there could maybe a fall when a care professional is in the home, but you cannot expect that care professional to pick up or help up physically that person.
It's a bit of a jump from where we were. So.
It is.
Okay.
But we're talking about people who are on the ground, they've got a pendant alarm.
Yeah.
But someone's not just going to lift that person off the floor.
No. The guidance surrounding falls is that carers, relatives, whoever, don't do that unless the person can actually assist themselves up. So,
slide a chair to them.
Yeah, emergency services will talk you through ways they felt would be appropriate or safe to attempt. There are different ways, but the most common one is a dining chair. You bring it to the person. Can the person bring themselves to their knees? Can they then get their hands, forearms on the seat of that chair, and then can they lift themselves up?
Yeah.
Anyone that can't do that obviously needs to be assisted up, and that would be done by the emergency services. And that's for a multitude of reasons, not because people aren't capable of picking people up, but you can cause further injury when you're picking somebody up. And obviously that doesn't necessarily prevent the fall from happening again because there's no assessment. Emergency services will check basic observations. What's this person's blood pressure like? What are their SATs, the oxygen levels in the blood, things like that. What's happening with the heart? So there might be an indication of why this fall has happened. Obviously there might be an actual injury. If somebody falls very, very quickly, you go down, however you go down, you hit heads, you hit elbows, abdomens, shins, anything. And again, even if somebody fit and well falls and bangs a head, you need medical attention, whether you choose to access it or not. Obviously with the elderly, they're more frail, skin is terrifyingly fragile. A little nudge on something can literally take a piece of skin off your arm, you know, that Buffalo Bill will be grateful for. You're talking chunks and chunks. No, but it's true, and it's a disgusting phrase, but I've seen some absolutely horrendous things with paper thin skin, and there's all these other things that need to be considered, and it's all quite frightening, but it is all
so if, you're in, yeah. So if you're in a position that you need help in home, because what we want to advocate is people stay at home as long as possible.
Absolutely.
Place where they feel happy, safe, well,
mm-hmm.
have access to everything they've always had, family, relatives, services.
The best prevention is just being open and honest and assessing yourself or letting somebody else assess it, thinking, okay, fine, I need a rail at my shower. Okay, fine, I need a razor on my toilet seat. I need to put that rug somewhere. A razor on the toilet seat.
I was thinking like a Gillette Mac 3.
No, like a seat razor.
Yeah, okay, to raise it up.
Yeah, so it sits above
a fancy
your
Japanese
toilet
that automatically shaves your bum.
Oh my god. No.
Oh, right.
So you don't have as far to stand up and sit down from.
Oh, right.
So you can access the toilet more independently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That kind of razor. Height razor. Rug, as I say, off the floor, has to be hung on a wall or something else, whatever. It's sort of, and it's being proactive with that and being really, really mindful and being responsive. So if your footwear doesn't fit, goodness sake, go and get some new bloody slippers or get someone else to get you some slippers. Or if you even can't manage that yourself for whatever reasons, accessibility, finances, phone your GP. There are services that can assess and provide.
So before care's put in place, or as care's being put in place, the ongoing thing is to just kind of be aware of strength, some of the frailty, any impairments. If there's a spell of falls, look at the medication. Has medication changed? Can the medication be affecting anything? Speak to the GP.
Yeah.
Ill-fitting footwear, ill-fitting shoes, anything in the environment, rooks, pets, etc. And but at what point, if there's a spate of falls, at what point do you need to think, actually, we've looked at all those options and this just keeps happening a bit too regularly? Because, like I said, we all walk into things, we all fall. And so, especially as someone gets older and as they get more frail, it is to be expected. They can't expect there to never be a fall.
The issue is the time spent on the floor. So, and obviously the injuries incurred as the fall happens. So it would be, you would look to change environment if you had exhausted all the other causes of the fall. You'd put in ample support to ensure that somebody was there to either prevent the falls or to manage the person once they had fallen. So obviously, again, they can't get them up off the floor, but they can provide basic first aid and make sure that person is as well as possible. But the next step would be like a care home environment where, as I say, that doesn't prevent the falls from happening. They still happen.
Yeah.
There's just ready staff there to support the up and off the floor. So the issue really is that the end point of the fall. It's not really the reoccurrence of them if they're managed falls. It's when you get to a point where, goodness me, this is becoming a big problem.
When the risk outweighs the reward of staying
definitely. So obviously if they are happening and there's no care in place and somebody's looking to put care in place because of falls, make sure you butt end the day. So one call will not be enough. You'll need the morning and you'll need the evening to ensure that person's got the best chance of minimal damage from a fall. So if they've fallen overnight, somebody will be there in the morning. If they fall morning, lunch, evening, somebody's there in comes back at bedtime and you've got eyes on the person but ends of the day. That's what we always advise if sort of care's being introduced due to falls. And obviously with care in comes another level of assessment, so it's helpful and links to other professionals. But you can access those without having a care provider. Call the GP, community therapy team, so physiotherapies, occupational therapies, even falls teams, depending on what part of the country you're in, will come and make all the necessary assessments, suggest adaptions and support strength, providing exercise tips and things like that. So, but a lot of it really is down to just simply being honest about yourself and or your relative. Yes, I've not been back to the opticians for 4 years and I get reminders every 6 months. I've been wearing the same glasses for 4 years. Go and change your bloody glasses. So it's, you know what I mean? Often find it's something very, very obvious.
And then Judy will probably end up, and similar to Her Majesty, will end up with an in-house care team, living carers.
I imagine so.
Someone who's there 24/7.
And as you said, unfortunately, often it's inevitable. So these things are going to happen and you're not always going to be able to get yourself up. So it's just being as strong and as prepared and as open as you can to preserving yourself within that environment. There's no quick fix, is the answer.
Because you don't get people who say, I'm off my legs.
Yeah.
And I suppose at that point, people have made that decision to just not move. So I want to be at home. I'm either in a chair all day or a wheelchair all day. It's like, because if you go into a home, you're going to fall. There's just staff there.
Yeah.
So again, you kind of make the choice in the case of, I'm going to get someone to get me up. I'm going to have limited movement, but I'm going to stay at home.
Yeah. But as I say, it's the risk of the actually incurred with the fall. So one of the big things that actually is a massive risk factor, which isn't commonly discussed, I think due to awareness, is if somebody's on the floor for a certain amount of hours, there becomes a great risk of that fall actually resulting in what's categorised as a crushing injury. So a crushing injury is as it sounds. So if a tree falls and lands across your legs, that's instantly a crushing injury. If somebody falls, just trips over a rug in the kitchen and they lay on a hard surface for, say, 6 or more hours in the same position, that constitutes as a crushing injury because the result on the physical self is the same. So
because that person's so frail.
It's an increase when somebody's so frail, but it would still be if somebody's young, fit and able, if they can't move.
So not like me.
Grey areas there. But if somebody is on one part of that body for a certain amount of time, all the blood flow obviously slows, the tissues get additional perfusion where those pressure points are. So if Dame Judy, 87 years old, falls over in her kitchen, living room, wherever, and she's, let's say she falls onto her left side and she actually can't even roll onto her back and she's there for actually 8 hours, then that left side which she has fallen on has the rest of her body weight pushing on the left side that meets the floor. Am I making sense?
I believe so.
Okay, good. So she is crushing herself in theory. It's that left side that's affected by the crushing.
Gravity,
simple as that. And again, the perfusion becomes the issue, which is why it's a much bigger issue in the elderly, because perfusion circulation is already fairly, you know, reduced to as it was. It's running at 20 miles an hour, not 60. And then so when that person comes out of that position and is assisted back to stand or whatever, that tissue remains affected. It doesn't necessarily send the blood quite back where it should be. The internal bleeding, other damage to that area. So it is a game of time in a lot of the essence. So our point from our company is always, well, hang on, is this how long?
Hurry up.
Yeah, basically, and how long are these things happening for? Hence why we always advise book calls. So butt ends of the day, you've got your morning and your bedtime. It's key to obviously stress to emergency services when you're accessing that help that this person has been on the floor for a long period of time or an unknown period of time for the reason of the crushing. Obviously highlight any other injuries that may be there. And it's always say what you see when you contact emergency services. The people on the other end of the phone are brilliant, but they can't see you. You're painting them that picture. So if somebody is on a kitchen floor which is tiled, so it's hard, but it's also freezing cold, that needs to be described. You know, if their face is very, very close to a radiator pipe from where they've positioned, that needs to be described. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So, because the person on the other end of the phone won't ask a million questions about the environment, you have to opt for, volunteer them. But it's all things like that. It's the responsiveness which is important and how responsiveness is depending on whether that environment remains suitable or not. Obviously, other risk factors with falls is injuries, as we say, sustained as you actually fall. But really, bar the very, very obvious injuries which become a huge problem, like an actual cranial injury.
Wound.
Yeah, like to a part of your body that's going to make a big difference. Obviously, you've got your lovely hips, which is a very, very, very common injury from a bad fall for the elderly, which are very easy to fix. It's just the issue of your back to your preserve, promote, prevent. It's the promote and that recovery. So somebody's actually got to endure surgery,
recover from time, that surgery. Strength again.
Yeah, and come mobility, back home again.
Confidence.
Yeah, which is probably the final point to mention.
Don't keep knocking it.
I didn't realise it was.
Sorry.
The final point to mention is confidence, because that really is probably the key to most situations being successful or unsuccessful. And if you sustain an injury or you keep falling, and then the person's going to think, oh goodness me, I can't manage this, I can't manage here, then becomes your vicious circle, because then you don't get up as quickly as you normally would, or you don't bother to empty your own bin, or I won't bother going into the garden now. I'm not going to risk it. It's like, well, assess that. There might be a way where you can.
And I think a lot of relatives and a lot of people will have noticed how quickly that can kind of onset throughout COVID when people don't go, when kind of the usual clubs are being cancelled, don't go to the shop, don't go to the post office, don't go to Nish and Chat. Yeah. So it's a case of, oh no, I don't go there, I won't go there, I won't walk out, I won't, you know.
It makes a huge, huge difference. And it makes a huge difference to somebody's independence.
Yeah, and it's the same system, same mental, psychological system. Yeah.
It all links back to the same thing, and it's a huge issue in the home care sector when you're trying to look after these people at home. Because obviously, we're never going to make somebody stay at home, but there's so many clients, certainly in my experience, which we've looked after, and you think, well, you could have been at home for another 5 years if only you had considered this or felt more confident about that, or you know what I mean? There's lots of, but it comes down to personal preference. But from a professional perspective, it's really the biggest issue is the confidence and the comfortability of where somebody is more than anything else. Most of the things can be remedied. They're physical things. They can be moved, or they can be medicated better, or they can be fixed. It's if that person wants to have them remedied and fixed, if you know what I mean.
Okay, I think that probably covers most things on falls. Got one question for you. I saw it earlier and I completely forgot about it. So I don't know whether it's true or not. I could have imagined it and I didn't read the article, but it says something like, a test to identify dementia 20 years before the onset.
Okay.
And this is to me, it's a little bit like, do you want to know how you're going to die? So if you could take a test now that said you will get dementia in 20 years, would you take it?
Goodness me, of course I would.
I don't think I would.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Terrifying.
Why is it terrifying?
Because I don't want to know. I'll be worried about it for until it happens.
But there's so much science to back up that there's many preventional measures to onset.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, but wouldn't you prefer to know to give your best shot at keeping your brain active to prevent that onset?
No, I'll just keep it active.
No, I would definitely want to know.
I know someone once got really, really angry as well. She overheard a conversation about how if you keep your brain active, you don't get. And obviously, all these things are general rules.
So
she said, my mother did a PhD when she was 73, and she got dementia when she was 85. Still, use it. But anyway, people get a bit. But no, I would rather just take my chances, and if it happens,
no,
I'd rather not know.
If you said to me, could you press this button and it would flash up the age you're going to be when you die? Do you want to know? It's like, no. A huge, enormous no, thank you.
But, what language is that?
Pardon?
Language is enormous.
It's Colin Firth's language of love, actually. This fish is enormous. Anyway, I definitely not. But something that you can potentially have a positive impact on every time, yes. And somebody might be listening to this thinking, well, you might be able to prevent your death if you know what year you're dying. Yeah, no, I get that, but no. Not with enough certainty. Whereas dementia, there's fair evidence to state.
Yeah, but if it's genetic, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, but you can still control the sort of onset and how severe that is, and you can prepare yourself and prepare your family, prepare your environment, write out what you want. Think of that one lady we looked after that had. She obviously hadn't done a test. She just, whatever her reason was, and had written everything out. If this happens to me, I want you all to make sure you do this, this, and this, and this.
We could do that anyway.
Yeah, but we did that for her for 2 years and nobody else was willing to do that. And nobody else would have given us the support to do that if she hadn't.
Yeah, but the other question is, you listen to this podcast, you get informed, you plan for your future. This is the problem. People don't plan for their future, see? They kind of live year to year to year, or maybe only think, oh, look towards a retirement. They don't look towards the depressing elements of this is what you're going to do when you're really old.
It's because of us culturally. People don't see themselves as being their own problem. They become somebody else's.
Yeah, but ultimately you do become someone else's problem. You just have to kind of accept that.
Yes, but you can also set yourself up to become less of a problem.
Oh. Well, I don't want to know if I'm going to have dementia or not.
Well, I definitely would. So if, as and when that test becomes available, sign me up, I'll do it. Definitely.
Okay, thank you for listening. That has been Frailty and a little bit on dementia again. If you would indeed take the dementia test and find out whether you would get dementia or not, let us know. You can always, like I say, DM us on Twitter. You can always send us a message and at us on Twitter. Or you can email us to our email address, which is mailbox.whocarespod@gmail.com. Other than that, we hope to see you on the next podcast. Obviously not physically, because we don't see people who are listening. But
and I would just like to summarise, because this one has been about falls. If you are concerned about somebody, just openly, honestly assess them or get them assessed or assess yourself and just put some prevention measures in there.
Or you can send us a question.
Or send us a question, but generally you can prevent a lot of falls.
Bye for now.
Just saying.
Take care.
#take care.